Yeah, I'm here today with Lisa Cairns from England. And I want to introduce you a little bit. You do live streams on the internet,
yeah,
right? And also you travel through Europe and you have talks.
Yeah.
There. Yeah, to the cold in the cold countries, you say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly.
And yes. And could you introduce a little bit your work?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really see it as my work, but
mm-hmm.
it's something that just happens. These words about, I suppose, non-duality come out. But you just have to give it a few moments while it comes. So what I talk about is the end of suffering. The end of living in a bound reality, an energetical bound reality of feeling like you're separate inside the world, separate from everyone else. You have free will and choice, and you have to find your happiness in the world. It's your responsibility to find your happiness, and you're the biggest fuck up if you haven't found your happiness. And so I talk about the end of that game happening, that end of the seeking energy, the searching energy, the one that feels like it's got to get somewhere and do something. And it lives in time, in past and future. And it's also conceptual. It's also made up of words of who you think you are is an intellectual understanding of someone that's done things, done actions in the past and is going to places in the future. And I talk about the collapse of that, which ultimately is an energetical thing, but it also is conceptual as well. And the collapse of living in a separate reality that's in past and future, and then just living, and there's no separation anymore. There's just life appearing, there's just what is, and life becoming very simple. And it's no longer you in relationship with anything, and you having problems with the world. Is just the world happening.
Okay, it sounds very nice. Yeah, and
so it is, but just to be clear, I say suffering, I don't know what else to call it, but it is the end of something. It's not getting to a place, it's the end of something.
Mm-hmm. So do you think we're always trying to get somewhere? So we don't have to get anywhere, we just have to end something?
You couldn't even end something, but because that would still be getting somewhere. It's such a mindfuck.
Yeah, it is.
But
it sounds like I have to push a button and then...
like an eject.
Yeah.
Eject this person.
Yeah.
But it's not even quite like that. It's actually really mysterious as to how it's happening. The person that's looking has taken things to be really normal and really ordinary and thinks it knows things, but it's really, really mysterious as to what's happening. We can't even find a place that any of this is coming from. We can't find a place of who we think we are, who the other is, how action's happening. We can never get to an answer. It's really mysterious as to what's happening. But there can be a collapse of that knower that's looking and thinks it knows, that it acts separately, it has free will, and it has to get somewhere. But it's not somebody's doing. And then everyone says, well, then how does it happen? And this is when it all becomes this big question mark. But the question mark was all that was ever wanted. It was never the understanding, the intellectual bullshit that I talk, that all other speakers talk. It was the collapse into this mystery. And actually, mystery was what was wanted, even though the seeker says mystery's bad, not knowing's bad. I've got to know, I've got to understand, I've got to get there, I've got to know what I'm going for. Actually, just, we don't know, we'll never know what the hell's happening. It's appearing, but we don't know what reason, we don't know why, we don't know who it's appearing for, we don't know who you are or other it is. There is just life happening, and it's not conceptual at all. Concepts are something that appeared in it to help humans evolve.
So since you give talks or live streams,
yeah,
it seems like you're teaching us to get there.
Well, that's maybe what it seems like, yeah.
Yeah. So why? What is the sense of it then? If there is no getting there.
I don't know. Just speaking happens, and people or bodies seem to come and listen to that speaking. I don't know how, or why, or what's going to be got, or what's not going to be got. I don't know if it does good or not good or anything like that. All that, it's not even me that knows, I don't even know who I am, is that urges appear, words appear, sounds, sight, bodies some seemingly appear or come and go. But all there ever is this aliveness, this beingness, where all forms seemingly are moving in it. Everything else is mystery. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't even know who I am.
So is it when people gather together to be with you or to hear you, could we call it that it's not the teaching that does something, it's like the gathering and the energy in the gathering that makes something mysterious happening?
I think that's too logical.
Okay.
There's no sense to it. There's urges written for body mind mechanisms and impulses written for them to come to the talks, and then there's impulse written here to speak.
Okay.
And we cannot possibly know. We don't even know we're going to the future. We just know this with an image of the future and an image of the past. We don't even know who we are. We can't tell the difference between sound outside and inside. We can't even find the person that thinks it could tell the difference. We just know all these appearances happening in this absolute mystery, in this holy fuck. And as a kid, it was never a problem. As an animal, this holy fuck's never a problem. To the one that thinks it knows and thinks it's got to get its happiness in the future, that's agony, because if it doesn't know, it can't find what it's looking for. It can't find it.
But what is interesting to me is you said there's only an impulse here for you to talk, and there's an impulse for people to listen to you. And I want to
even know, but even saying you or sorry,
no, that's
just
fine.
Jump around. Even saying you or I is quite mysterious. We can't even find that boundary, or it can't even be found, that boundary. Like right here now, there are sounds appearing, but there's no. There's no point where the hearing and the sound start and stop. There is the sound, and we say Lisa speaking. We're just referring to the body. It seems like the body's speaking, and then it's heard, but there's no difference between that hearing and the speaking. That the concept comes in and says, I'm listening, but where is the point where the listening starts and the sound stops? Here? It's all down to intellectual interpretation, and that intellectual interpretation has been taken as a reality. I'm listening, she's speaking. And then this whole conceptual reality has begun, which seemingly gives the appearance of I'm in here and the world is out there and I've got to find something.
Okay, so, but my questions are rather worldly. Like, you know, I'm trying to understand, maybe I can't, I don't know, but...
I don't think anyone can understand. There's thoughts that appear.
Right.
And that's it. And then they disappear, and then we're left in this big mystery.
Okay, but the question for me is, you know, I have this body. I'm on this earth.
You think?
Yeah, but...
Without thoughts, that's not a reality.
Right.
The earth is, you know, without thoughts, that's... I have a body. Do you really have a body? Do you really have it on an earth?
Okay, at least I feel it, and I...
But that's not the actual experience. It's not the experience that you feel you have a body right now. The sensation appearing in this massive space that's absolutely boundless. And then on top of that, a thought comes on and says, it's inside a body, or I'm inside a body, which is an interpretation and not a reality. There's this boundless space where all these appearances are happening that's so huge, the biggest, huge... Can't even be found, the space. We can't even really call it space.
Okay, so still my question is, what am I doing here with all this, what you're talking about? What should I...
But what are we doing here, full stop? What are we doing here, full stop? Not what I'm talking about, but full stop. Why?
What does it mean, full stop?
Oh, full stop means like end of sentence. Mm-hmm. Like, why the hell is all of this appearing? Not just Lisa talking seemingly about non-duality, but all of it.
But this world is dual.
Dual.
So how can I deal with this? Like being non-dual, but living in duality.
It's never your responsibility. There's not a you or an I in there. There's masses of appearances.
Okay, but still, you wake up in the morning, you're hungry, you need money for your rent. How do I deal with all this? Or do you just lay down the whole day and feel the non-duality? So I have this worldly, you know, how can I integrate that with this, you know, with this life here?
Well,
I know there's no life, but there is.
There seems to be, but what happens in the morning when the body wakes up is there's lots of thoughts, feelings, sensations appearing. And then what else wakes up is this person that thinks that it's in control of all these sensations, these appearances, and that it's got to make the best of them. And that's the bit that's false. That's the bit that's a lie, that gives the appearance.
Right.
And that's what gives weight. All suffering comes from that dynamic.
Right.
It's my responsibility to live this. What agony. And then it fights and fights and fights to try and get to this happiness, this made-up happiness, this dream, whether it's enlightenment, whether it's having a big house or having kids. So it fights against the flow. No, my kids have got to believe this. My kids have got to act like this. Or my house has got to look like this. Or I've got to do an appointment today and it's really important, this appointment. And this story that becomes energetical, it really feels like an energy inside the body. And it takes over and the whole world is viewed between you, freely choosing, and separate. But this is all on an assumption because we can't find the beginning to any of it. This was all on an assumption that there was somebody that had free will and choice.
So how can I deal with that? You know, so I know all this. Like, let's take you. You know,
who I am.
Okay, but you step out of bed and then you have maybe get those thoughts of I have to achieve something, and then in that moment you can let go again because you know there it's only a story.
I don't feel like I can let go. I used to feel like it was my choice to let go.
Okay.
Now there's just masses of appearances happening in this silence.
Appearances is the sensations you feel.
Sensations, thoughts, urges.
Okay.
There's no longer this energy that believes that they are mine and that I can fuck life up.
And that
I can get life wrong. And that's and that I'm inside a body and that other people are acting separately. So that whole intellectual reality of they've done me wrong, I've done wrong, I'm guilty, they're guilty. No, this shouldn't be like this. This whole fighting part falls away. How that falls away is just why the body here, seemingly in the story, had urged to move towards non-duality, but at the time it thought I was choosing, and then that began to be seen as an absolute lie. I can't even say there was definitely a past.
So you already wake up being in non-duality?
I don't wake up being in non-duality, just that dream of living in time and this being my life fell away. But I don't know how. I'm not even sure that there was somebody yesterday or 10 days ago. All I know is the thought about it here, or the thought rises about it here. I really came back to being an idiot. People thought that you come to being wise, but I came to everything is unknowable. And there's not a problem with that. The problem is I know things, and the thing that people think they know most is that I am somebody inside a body and that I have free will. This is the biggest trap. As soon as there is I am someone with free will, and this is so scary for that energy that thinks it has free will, there's blame, there's guilt, there's shame, there's pride, there's all this, they're wrong, I'm right. That's what all the suffering is around, is free will, is I am someone inside a body and I choose freely. But it's very scary because the me energy believes that safety is in free will. I can stop bad things I can stop getting in the car, in the car with the drunk person. I can stop people hurting my kids. I can stop bad things happening to my cat. So it becomes incredibly scary, mm-hmm. this questioning of free will, because it means anything could happen, which is the way it's always been.
Okay, so but do you think there's a law of attraction? Like, in the minute you step out of being in duality, you have a very different energy, and that attracts, that's my belief, that attracts kind of the similar energy. So it seems like a free will.
It does seem like free will, well, that's appearing.
Or it seems like we do have some responsibility of...
But the question is how is... these urges and these thoughts that say I am acting and I am choosing these things appear. So what happens is an appearance of choice. So the thought pops up, I'm going to go and give £10 to the beggar or something. But where does that thought come from? The assumption is that you're choosing it and you're someone behind that thought or urge, but it's absolute emptiness, it's boundless space it's arising in.
Okay, so psychologists talk about that there's an unconscious, and that makes you, of course, pop up thoughts that lead you through life, because if in your subconscious is like a belief system that you have to stay poor, you will, without knowing, like unconsciously act on that. Do you believe in that? Because then that would be a reason why thoughts like that pop up.
Everything is spontaneously appearing from this boundlessness. I don't even know what to call it. This mm-hmm. beingness that's no thing and yet everything. Right in this moment, everything's spontaneously appearing from nothing. But the body and everything... is seemingly programmed a certain way. So the body's going to have certain programming. So if it's been brought up with parents that are English and like English food and English tea, then it's going to be programmed like that. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong with the programming. That's just plain pain and pleasure. So if the body's programmed to not hunt for money and not be rich, then it will be poor, and that's just painful. That's not suffering, that's pain or pleasure. It's the same with the animals. The animals are programmed a certain way. You'll get certain dogs that are programmed to be dominant dogs and certain ones that are the weakest of the pack, and the weakest of the pack have the less food, the worse food, they're picked on by the others. That's not the problem. That's the flow of life. Life isn't fair. Life is messy and gruesome and in opposites, so it's pain and pleasure continuously. The problem is when it's taken personally, and it's, I'm poor, I've been abandoned by life, and I've been rejected, and I've been made poor, which isn't true. There's just forms appearing which aren't personal. Mm-hmm. It's when it's personalized it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. So the conditioning of the body, is to be poor, then that's what happens, painful. It could be pleasurable. Being rich is measurably not so pleasurable.
Yeah.
There's lots of effort that's to be put into it.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. So, and that... if we get out of that story, then the agony can stop.
Yeah, but the body might still carry on being conditioned to be poor.
Right, right.
It might not be one that gets lots of money is not going to suddenly get a perfect life.
Right.
Life's going to carry on being messy because it's an opposite.
Yeah.
And bloody.
Okay, so everything actually we believe is a belief system or a story that we make up, but it's not the truth.
No, and it's based on the assumption that it's your story.
Right, but that there's an I.
In the beginning, when language started, prior to language, I don't really understand what it was like or have any comprehension, but... of what cavemen or whenever language started, I'm making this story up, mm-hmm. but prior to language there was just beingness and there was just humans acting, or maybe they were still half human, half monkey, I don't know what it was like, but they didn't have language, there was just action happening, there was just hunting for the fish, eating, making love, whatever it was. Then language began and they began to be able to describe certain objects and talk about themselves in past and future. And when I say themselves, the body. So the body was described to have done actions and going to be doing actions. Prior to that, there was just life and there was no identity. There was no sense of, I am somebody inside a body, I have somewhere I'm going. There was just things happening. There was just life happening. But then as language started, the body began to be able to be described. I'm a tall person. I've done a good job hunting today. I'm a bad person, whatever it was.
Right.
And it began to be taken to who you are, rather than that was just something that appeared in life, in that beingness, in that original, silent, still, but moving essence. It became, I am somebody that's in past and future. And this entity became, it seems, in the story of things, stronger and stronger. So now, when I look at humans, there's such a huge identity, and the whole society seems to be based on that identity of seeking for happiness. And you are an individual. You've got to make your happiness. You've got to do things in this life. You've got to get there, where it seems to have got more and more focused on this individuality. And the societies which have the strongest emphasis on this individuality seem to have the highest depression rates.
Right.
And seem to be the most depressed.
So that is, could be the reason of depression.
The whole
not
suffering
to fit.
Is bound yeah. To complicated thinking. But there's nothing wrong with complicated thinking. It's just when it came personal that the complicated thinking became who I am. I am an action in time. How can that be?
Right.
It's never time. It's always this boundless presence, this pure aliveness where everything's appearing and disappearing.
Okay, so we need you in schools. You should teach in schools talk about it.
The kids, animals are still beaming with that. There's not so much of a big entity in kids.
Yeah, but at a certain age it starts. Mm. I think when they're 9, it starts to get very
stronger. Yeah,
yeah, it suddenly appears.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're younger, they're very much in the moment. That's so beautiful to watch.
I think, although this is just thoughts, and in this body, I remember that energy coming in about 5 or 6.
Okay.
I remember this, just life was happening, just playing, not really thinking about who I was, who they were, if they liked me. And then I remember suddenly comprehending and feeling like a name and feeling like I had to act a certain way and I had to be certain things.
Yeah. So our society is only based on the I, that we are something and that we have to be good.
Yeah.
And that's actually the big trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the logical mind doing that. But the logical mind is good for something.
Yeah.
Like to know what time it is.
It's an amazing thing.
And to count how much I have to pay. For that it's good, right?
But only when it's spontaneously appearing. When it becomes this energy which is bound in time, and really the logical mind should just be spontaneously appearing rather than looking at the world through this logical mind. So it's when it's like a time-bound reality that's repeating the story of who I am, where I've been, what I'm doing, where I'm going, and it's making this kind of linear thing. Whereas there's nothing wrong with the logical mind when it's just appearing.
Right.
Just appearing from nowhere. When time needs to be known, it's known. Then it disappears. It's not I'm sitting here, it's 12:30 and I've got a blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It just appears when taxes need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But there, it's freely appearing. It's not appearing from this entity which thinks it's at the base of things and exists this way. It's just here. Time, clock. Then it's gone. There's no clock, there's no time. There's just what is. Then time needs to be known and appears again.
Right. So what about silence?
Yeah. I love silence.
I'm scared of silence.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's happening all the time, silence. Like right here, now, there's this deep, empty silence that's always... Even though we talk, even in this sound, there's this deep empty silence. And the me energy, the personal energy, is trying to make activity to cover that up.
Right.
It's scared of falling into that absolute, no-sensical void.
Why?
Just because it's programmed to be something, to exist and to feel real. And it's programmed to avoid death. And really, that silence is absolute death.
Okay, it's programmed from society, from parents.
I don't really understand how it's programmed. It seems like it happens because of society, but I don't really understand ultimately how it's all working. It's appearing from this emptiness.
But if you're a monk living in some cage, I guess you're away from that program because you cannot do too much.
A monk living in a cage? No, they might have a really active mind. They could be sitting there still, but they might still be dreaming. Might still be dreaming yourself.
That's true. Mm. So the fear of silence is coming from
the fear of death. It's the fear of death.
Right.
Because right here, there's a part that's so still and so empty, and the me's scared of falling into that. It wants to keep existing in time.
That's why we invent activity and thoughts?
Not necessarily. It's... But it's why that energy keeps seeking really quickly and keeps repeating the story. When it's repeating the story, it makes it feel like this is really real, and it covers up this void that's there.
But how about, you know, no story, no logical mind being, you know, inventing stories, but still enjoy activity?
Yeah, activity is fantastic. There's
nothing, that's what I do.
There's nothing wrong with activity, like things happening.
Okay.
Like things are always going to be happening, even if the body's still. That's not a problem. But it's that energy that's constantly repeating who it is. Mm-hmm. I'm this. I know where I'm going. I've done bad. No, what's wrong? I've got to go there. That energy that's constantly... Because as it moves, it seemingly moves, it covers up this big void that's also there.
Okay, so I have a personal problem. I have this thought or this concept in my mind that I would be happy if I do the things that I want to do.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that is true or not.
It's a dream. In spirituality, they often encourage that. You've got to do what you want to do.
Yes.
But it's a dream that's got nothing to do with what is. What is here. That's in La La Land.
Okay, but isn't it still a nice impulse to maybe go for the things or create it in your life to do what you want to do?
You'll never find what you want to do.
Because when you do it, then you will...
But what would they be, like going to the fun park or...
Oh, no.
Money or...
Well, there are some people who do things for money that they really like.
Yeah.
And there's some people who don't do that.
But,
Or is it a concept again?
It's all a concept. It's just living in a mental reality. Life is as it is. And you'll never find this perfect place. You'll never get to this place where you do everything you want to do and you're happy. It won't happen.
But isn't there some force that leads us to think... certain things and do certain things?
There's no force that's separate from this aliveness, this boundless space that I was talking about.
Right.
So that's what's producing all these thoughts and urges and impulses.
But, okay, when I have an impulse or an intuition, where does it come from?
This emptiness, this place that the mind's trying to cover up. And say, I am someone, this is coming from something.
Okay.
It comes from emptiness.
So I always thought that that's a nice voice to listen to.
Well, what often happens is there's an impulse, and then another impulse says, no, you can't do that because you're bad or you're wrong or you're not
right.
good enough. And that's the suffering energy.
Exactly. But the pure impulse without that voice criticizing it, that is something that I could take as a leader for my life.
But who would that one be? That would be another voice, just coming from an enlightened point. That very voice that says I could take that as a lead is already one that's trying to control that impulse. It's already a separation from
okay.
the impulse.
Right. So just impulse and do it.
Well, impulse and it happens. There's no you in there that could separately do something. It happens.
Bad or good doesn't matter.
No. This is a full-on bit for everyone, but bad or good, there is no bad or good. It's all conceptual.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how to live in this duality.
you'll never figure out. The me energy will always be seeking and striving for better, and it will just get more and more weighty. It's always going to be a messy fuck up and perfectly beautiful, because it's a world of opposites.
So how do you handle it?
It just happens, and sometimes it's more pleasant than others, but there's not even someone here that's registering any more pleasant or not pleasant. It's just sensation and forms appearing and disappearing. And sometimes there's 20 hours of delay of the plane or something, or it's cancelled when I'm going to be doing a talk. And it's messy. Life is messy.
Mm.
You're never going to find a perfect life. That's what the me's dreaming of. It's messy, but it's also beautiful and fun, and it's all everything. It's all opposites.
Mm.
The problem always is that one that thinks it knows better. I know to fill my urges, or I know this.
That's what we call the ego, the logic mind.
I call it the personal, or the personal story, the person
right.
that thinks that it knows things. Yeah. And the mystery is the freedom, the not knowing what's right, what's wrong, which sounds really full on, what's good, what's bad, I should feel my wants, not knowing any of that. So then everything's just free to appear and disappear. And then another person's, or another body-mind mechanism's free to be as they are. They're not right or wrong or good or bad, they're just as they are. This body might move away from it if it's really aggressive, but it's just as it is. It's just free. It's no longer, you have to be like this. That's agony to go down that road.
Right.
Because they are as they are. Life is as it is. It rains, it's sunny.
And then there is the silence.
Yeah. And as that me energy begins to dissolve, it's seen that all of this is it's happening, and it's also not happening. There's also this silence, freedom that's boundless, that isn't suffering, that doesn't have a problem with the world. It's creating freely, but it's absolutely boundless. It's not caged. That cagedness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at all caged. It's not even you. Like the essence of everything is huge. It's bigger than the idea of huge. It's everything and nothing. And it's right here as the words will drop and all this bullshit that I speak drops. And I do speak bullshit. It's like I can't ever speak this. I can't ever speak it.
Mm-hmm.
As it all drops, there's this boundless wonder. This freedom. That's dreaming in, not freedom.
Yeah, I have no question after that anymore. And it's funny you actually answered all the questions I already wrote down, even though I didn't ask them, you answered them already.
How funny.
Yeah.
And then it all disappears, and it's never really happened. All this blah, blah, blah for the last half an hour into this void.
Yeah.
And there's just here, there's eyes, hair, smell, touch, nodding.
Mm.
And that's the freedom, not any words spoken about it. The actual what's happening.
What is so difficult is that there is no way to describe it, actually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what also can be difficult is the personal energy thinks that it can some way understand this. And that it's its responsibility to get there. And it's got no comprehension that this is happening so beyond it.
Right. So the big question always is, and I have that with almost everyone I interview, is I always think, okay, she got it, but I don't know if I got it. It's always like that.
Yeah. Well, the essence, that innocence we were talking about, that boundlessness, is always free. And it's the nature.
Everybody has it.
Everybody is it. Everything is it. Mm-hmm. So the freedom is there. But what can sometimes be appearing is this personal that's saying, I'm not it. And its biggest story is, I've got this wrong and I'm not it. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough.
So I could say everybody's enlightened.
Everything is enlightened. Everything.
That's
everything
that's
is
interesting.
Screaming.
Never had anyone say that.
No?
No.
Everything is screaming this presence.
So they are, but they don't know.
No one will ever know it, but what they think is they're not.
Exactly.
You'll never know it intellectually, but what they think is they're not. That's the whole assumption of this person.
Yeah.
And what society seems to teach the body-mind mechanisms. You're not good enough.
Exactly.
You've got to do well at school to be better. You've got to be better in the future.
Yeah, exactly. I always say we all love each other, we just don't know it.
Yeah, it's all love.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
And when
if I say that, they look very funny at me.
Yeah. And when you say that there is no good and bad, people often think then the body would act badly. But that's not true. The essence of everything is love. You don't need to teach yourself how to be good.
Exactly.
It is as it is.
And there's love between everybody and everything. We just create that story that
it isn't.
So when people...
It's not even you creating it. You is what's dividing it all.
Yeah, so I do have another subject. I want to talk with you about it. I actually oversaw it just now. And it's this thing between man and woman. So people always say, oh, I fall out of love. That is just a big story, right? Nobody falls out of love.
But nobody falls in love either.
Right. So why am I attracted to one person more than the other?
That's just a bodily thing. You'll notice it with cats, with dogs.
Okay.
The energy goes...
It's biological.
Yeah, the energy's more pulled towards certain body-mind mechanisms. That's just the conditioning of the body. And it's a beautiful act, that intimacy of two bodies.
Yeah.
It's really lovely. But it's when it begins to become he's mine or she's mine or we are in relationship... then it feels like you've fallen out of something, but that's just dreamland.
Yeah.
There's just pure aliveness expressing, and there's touch, or there's no touch happening.
Yeah. So, is that what you mean with non-duality and death of romance? Because I saw that on your website, I was like, oh, interesting question, death of romance, what is that?
Oh, no, that was just a joke video.
Okay.
We made this video... where two people are in a relationship and they're trying to have a conversation, but they keep quoting non-duality to each other. And it's, you know, when you're, you know, it's maybe a particularly a guy thing.
A guy thing.
You know, when you're with certain guys and you're going to say, I love this moment or something. And like, there is no moment. Or whatever, you know, like, there is no time. And they preach non-duality. It was like a joke like that. Like the guy was sitting there preaching non-duality every time the woman appreciated the sun or something. There is no sun.
Oh, no.
So it's just a joke.
Okay. Okay, so there is not much behind that story. So there is romance. If there is love happening, there is romance happening, but actually between everybody.
Well, everything is a love affair. This is so intimate now. Mm-hmm. There is no distance between anything. But there can be this two bodies that are attracted together and they kiss and make love and...
Right, but we can take it if we get into a concept about that, then the agony starts.
Yeah, and it's not it.
Yeah,
how
right.
can anything be a concept?
Yeah.
We start dreaming about him being mine or...
Mm-hmm.
where it's going to be in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It doesn't mean that the bodies don't spend 10 years together, but it's...
So what do you think about the concept of soul and karma?
I don't see any separation, so there couldn't possibly be a soul. There's only this beingness, this love that we talked about, which is everything.
There can't be a soul?
There's no individual soul. There's just this pure aliveness that's everything and nothing.
So maybe the concept of soul means that there is just that...
One soul.
Exactly.
Soul is a funny word in English because it also means the bottom of your foot.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Soul.
Yeah, we say Zola.
But you could,
it's the same writing.
It's the same what?
Writing.
What?
Soul and the soul of the foot? Is this the same?
It's different writing.
Different writing but the same sound.
Yeah.
Okay. But... So, because I like the concept of we are souls, but I agree that we are actually one soul.
Yeah, you could say that. I'd just say one beingness, one aliveness.
Yeah.
Some people might say consciousness, or my words tend to be, like, I like, or mystery. I like, we're one mystery. Well, there's just mystery. Or this space, or...
Mm.
You can't really capture it. And, and karma, I just see as cause and effect. The world seemingly operates in cause and effect. But I don't see it as somebody's karma or somebody's got karma.
Cause and effect, meaning I cause something and then I get the similar effect to that?
No, just the world seemingly operates in cause and effect. So if you drop the cup, it smashes. If you drink lots of alcohol, there's more than likely sickness. Just operates, but it's not a personal thing. You don't have karma that you're storing up somewhere in a secret little vault somewhere.
That's what lots of spiritual people talk about.
Yeah, and then they talk about helping you get over your karma and you'll have a better life. And it's
exactly.
All the concept about the future. This is it. The freedom's here. That's dreaming.
That also includes that you have to go through more suffering to go.
But it's, and it's in
to get happiness.
It's in a dream. It's in fantasy. Mm. It's supporting that whole conceptual thinking. I'm going to go somewhere in the future. I'm going to get it there. It's here. It's right here, always. That energy, though, it loves to dream and loves to mentally, I say, masturbate over this. Like, overly think about where it's going, what it's doing. That will never give answers. It's here. The past, the future arise here.
And again, we like that, to masturbate over thoughts.
Oh, yeah, because then...
Because we fear the silence.
Yeah. We fear that big void.
Yeah.
So off it goes. I'm going to do this and I've got karma and blah, 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 blah. Thinks it'll get somewhere and then it's still here. Not going anywhere.
And, you know, how do you know all this? Is it because you had this death experience?
I really don't, because as soon as the words come out, it's silent again. There's not a continuous entity that knows something. It just goes, and then there's silence, and then there's eyes looking, and this intimacy that's here, and this loveness, and then it's not someone that knows it, and then the words come out again, or the question comes. If there's not questions, then it's very rarely ever gets spoken about.
Okay. So it was just there suddenly, the words.
The words just suddenly appear, and then there's that silence again, and then there's this.
But we think, I have the concept, they appeared after you had that experience.
Yes, and that's not the reality at all. That idea appears here.
Exactly.
How can the past, the past has only ever been a thought.
Okay.
The actual experience is that everything's appearing from a big, I don't know, a big mystery. That's the actual experience. But the mind lives in the fantasy of it happened because of the past and I'm going to the future. And it's like a hamster in a ball. And it's not, I don't mean to deny past and future, it seems like there's past and future. But the mind, the me personal energy is living in this ball, past, future, past, future, past, future, constantly. When what's the actual experience is the past appears here. So how could this moment be a result of the past? It's...
So that always drives us, all this mind fuck drives us always away from the what some people call now, the now, silence.
Or the present.
The present.
The gift. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really use the word now, it's more I would tend to go towards beingness or that space or...
Okay.
I don't know what words suit it.
Because there's all the beauty and all the love we need. Or
it's
the peace.
It's not even you. It's you is already a once removed imagining in words.
Okay.
Right here, there's mystery with lots of things appearing, including thoughts.
And question marks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I don't have a question. I think that was a very nice finish.
Yeah.
Yes.
I need the toilet as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you.